Take your Bibles. Take your Bibles. Turn with us to the book of John. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. As y'all know, we are studying in this study Words from Calvary. And this is part 3 in this study. I had planned on this one being last Wednesday night, but I had the funeral, so I couldn't do it. But it would have worked perfectly, and it's still not bad, because it's dealing with Mother. And it would have been nice to have done it before Mother's Day, but we're doing it the Wednesday after Mother's Day, so that's not too bad. But I have enjoyed this study. This it is so rich. I just can't get it all out to you in 30, 40, 45 minutes. I just can't do it, but I'm getting a blessing from it, and I hope that you are too. Look with us tonight, John chapter 19, and we're going to read two verses of Scripture, verse 26 and 27. This is the third utterance of Christ on Calvary. Listen to what it says. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank thee again for the privilege and joy. God, it is a joy to get in your word and God to study and to show ourselves approved unto thee. God, I ask thy blessing on everyone that's here. God, on those that can't be here, that would love to be here. God, we pray for them. God, we pray for those who have no interest in thy word. Because, God, that is a sad estate, Lord, for anyone who bears the name of Christ. So, God, we just ask your blessings now as we look, Lord, again at thy word. God, we ask you to open our minds and open our hearts. And God, fill it with thy riches, Lord. Riches from your word. And God, use it to draw us close to thee. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. Help us, God, to fall more in love with Jesus every moment, every day. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. You know, I suppose nothing reveals to us the heart of the Lord Jesus like Calvary. I mean, what He did there, what He endured, what He accomplished on that cross, all of that speaks volumes about His love for God and His love for you and I, for man, about His devotion to His mission. Because He went, beloved, all the way. I mean, all the way as far as He could go, beloved, in that mission. His willingness to be obedient to the Father. And you know, even the words from Calvary reveal His heart. You know, the Bible says, never a man spake as this man. And beloved, when you look at those seven sayings on the cross, let me tell you, you know that is absolutely true. When Jesus first spoke from Calvary, He was praying for the lost, for those who were even at that moment crucifying Him. When He spoke the second time, beloved, it was to save a penitent thief who was dying on that cross beside Him. Tonight, as we look at His third utterance, beloved, as He Himself hung on that cross, it was in concern for His mother. Now, get the picture. There He is with spikes driven through His hands and His feet, with sizzling pain, beloved, running through every nerve in His body. And I mean, beloved, from what I've read, it was like electricity running through His body, beloved, when those nerves would rub against those spikes. And yet His third utterance, beloved, His three utterances are about others. about others. Listen, oh, what a heart that reveals. A humble heart, putting others first, above himself, in front of himself. It reveals a compassionate heart, compassion for the lost. It reveals a caring heart, beloved, taking care of the believers or the saved. You'll see that in a moment. You know, I believe a holy silence must have covered Calvary at this point. Because, beloved, it would be like a hushed reverence, I think, at that moment, covered that hill, because otherwise, Mary and John, beloved, couldn't have heard him when he addressed them in this manner. Listen to what he said. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." Now, the first thing I want you to notice is he called Mary woman. Woman. Now, you know, our first response to that is, well, you know, that's disrespectful. Jesus is disrespecting his mother. But you know, if we know anything about Christ, beloved, we know that he never disrespect his mother. Amen? He'd never do that. No, listen, this is God in a body of flesh addressing the woman who was used as his gateway into the world of man, beloved. And listen, God never does anything without a reason. He never does anything without a purpose. So that lets me know, beloved, that he had a purpose and a reason for addressing her as woman instead of mother. He had a reason. There was a reason. He called her woman here. In fact, I believe there were at least two reasons. The first is, beloved, that at this point, listen, he was far, far more than just her son. Let me say that again. He was far, far more here at this point than just her son, beloved. Listen, he was the great sacrifice. The one that had been promised by the prophets of old, beloved. The one that had been promised way back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned and failed. He was the one, beloved, symbolized by all the burnt offerings and all the sin offerings in the Old Testament that were made by man over the years. He was the Lamb of God giving Himself, beloved, to atone for the sins of man. For the sins of man. You see, Mary had done her work. She had brought Him into the world. She had supplied Him with a body of flesh so that He could suffer and die for our sins. But now, beloved, he had moved on in his mission, beloved. He had become the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Woman, behold thy son. Now I want to ask you a question. I want you to think. Who was he asking her to look at? Was he asking, well, let's think now. Think. Was he asking her to look at John? Or was she asking her to look at himself? At himself. Now you'd be surprised at the number of Bible teachers that'll teach you, and I read behind a bunch of them, that he was telling her to look at John. But I want you to think about what I'm fixing to tell you, alright? I believe he was asking her to look at himself. To look at himself. See, she had no idea what he was about to say. Suppose, for example, Jacob and myself. Suppose Jacob's fixing to go on a trip. And we walk up to Kim. And Jacob says, "Behold your son." Who's she going to look at? She's going to look at Jacob. She's going to look at Jacob. See, that's what's going on here. Here's John and here's Mary and beloved, there's Jesus on the cross. And the first thing she hears is, "Behold thy son." So, beloved, her attention, she don't know what else he's going to say. So her attention is drawn to Christ. To Christ. Now let me go a step further. If you do a little bit of digging, and you look, beloved, at the Greek, there were, listen, the word used here for son, there are two possible words that you could use for son. Beloved, the word here is the Greek word H-U-I-O-U-S. And it means a birthed son. A birthed son. Beloved, it's as if Jesus was saying, look at me! I'm more than your son now. I'm the sacrifice. Look at me. I'm the one that's taken away the sins of the world. I'm paying the price for your sins and their sins. Woman, he called her. We've entered into a new relationship. You see, I'm more than your son. Now, I'm your Savior. I'm your Savior. Mary understood that, I believe. Because, beloved, back in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, when she went to visit Elizabeth and John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and boy, Elizabeth just went wild, you know, saying, hey, you're the mother of my son, of the Messiah. Mary broke out in the song and she said this. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. My Savior. Oh, listen, he was more than her son now. Now, beloved, he was becoming her Savior, bearing her sin. That's why he called her woman and not mother. Not mother. A second reason that he called her woman and not mother, I believe, was because, beloved, she was not to be venerated. And by that I mean she was not to be worshipped. She was not to be worshipped. Jesus was God, beloved, in a body of flesh. And listen, as God, He knew the wicked hearts of men. He knew, beloved, what the future would bring. Beloved, He knew man's tendency to idol worship. He knew that man would worship anything, make a god of anything, even a mother. Even a mother. He could see up ahead. And He saw men worshiping Mary. He saw, beloved, them making a god out of Mary. Putting her up on a pedestal and praying to her and claiming that she was without sin also. Oh, He saw the wickedness of man taking His own sweet mother and making her something evil. Making her an idol. Something to distract from Christ. Something to take away from Christ. Something to bow down to instead of the Lord of glory. So He said, woman. Woman. As if, beloved, to refute all the lies that men would tell about Mary. As if to say, hey, she's not God. She's not to be worshipped. She's not to be prayed to. She's not sinless. She's just a woman. A woman. A woman who surrendered to God's will. A woman whom God used in a mighty, mighty way, but still a woman. A woman. Beloved, with that one word, woman, Jesus refuted all the false teaching about Mary. And if you doubt that there's false teaching about Mary, just talk to a Roman Catholic. Just talk to and read their what they believe. See, she was a woman. Just the way some of you are, beloved. A woman greatly used of God, honored by God, a woman who yielded her all to God, and how God blessed her for it in a special way, but still a woman who needed a Savior. A Savior. Take heart, ladies. Take heart, because this shows us, listen, that women can and are used of God to accomplish great, great things. He can and will use you. If you'll yield your all to Him, He'll use you like He used Mary. There's one other thing I have to mention before I leave this. If Mary understood all of this, and I believe deep down inside she did. Now, I don't mean to say I believe that she understood that He was going to be resurrected. I don't think she understood that. But she understood, I believe, that He was fulfilling His mission, that He was dying for the sins of the world, that He was bearing the world's sins on that cross, making a way of salvation. And if she did understand that, listen, there had to be mixed emotions running through her. I mean, think about it. Woman, behold thy son. I'm the one that you gave birth to. Look at me now. I'm the sacrifice. I'm taking away the sins of the world. You had a part in this, Mary. You yielded yourself to God and gave birth to me. Don't you reckon a good feeling ran over her? Now, I know that there was a mountain of grief and sorrow, beloved, as there always is when your son is hurting and dying. And I know, beloved, grief was in her and sorrow was in her and pain, unbelievable pain was in her. But at the same time, her son, listen, was doing the greatest work the world had ever seen. The one she had gave birth to was making a way of salvation for all who would believe. And she had a part in that. She had a part in it. It's like we have a part when we lead somebody to the Lord. And we can't save anybody, but beloved, we can have a part in that salvation. Amen? She had a part in that. Oh, it was grief and sorrow. It was hurt and pain that she felt. But at the same time, it was pride in her son, beloved. Pride in who he was and what he was doing and what he was accomplishing. It was grief. It was grief that tore at her soul. But beloved, there was joy. Joy that a way of salvation was being provided by her son. By her son. Behold thy son. Look at what your son is doing for the whole world. Look. Look. Next, I want you to notice the care that Jesus had for Mary. He said to John, behold thy mother. Behold thy mother. Somebody says, preacher, how do you know it was John? Bible don't say here it was John. You look. It says, beloved, the disciple standing by whom he loved. Verse 26. How do we know that was John? Good question. It's a good question. Let's see if we can answer. All right? We know it was one of his disciples. Amen? Amen. Now that narrows it down to how many?
11.
11. Because Judas had disqualified himself by betraying Christ. And besides, Judas wasn't there. He was out hanging himself. Okay? So he wasn't there at the cross. So, it was one of the 11. Now, Of those 11 men, only one was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Beloved, 5 times that phrase is used in the book of John, and only the book of John. Now listen. At the Last Supper, you remember, the Bible says the disciple that Jesus loved leaned upon his breast. This was after Jesus had announced that one of them would betray him. And the disciple that Jesus loved leaned upon his breast, and Peter told that disciple to ask him, "Who is it? Which one? Which one?" But it's used there, okay? Second time the phrase is used, beloved, is where we're at right now, at the cross, beloved, in this Scripture. Third time, it was at the resurrection. You remember that Mary Magdalene ran up to Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, remember these names, okay? Remember these names, all right? Fourth, after the resurrection, beloved, when the disciples had gone fishing, you remember they were out on the ship and they saw a man on the shore and he called to them and he said, have you caught any meat or do you have any meat? And Jesus said, and they answered, no, we've caught nothing. And Jesus said, cast the net on the other side. And they cast it. And what happened? It was full. And beloved, it was at that point, at that time, that the Bible says the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And what did Peter do? He jumped in the water and swam to shore while they brought the net in. Now, the fifth time is on the bank that Jesus has fire built and fish are cooking, and they're on the bank. And Jesus is talking to Peter, and he's asking Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" And finally, the Lord tells Peter how he's going to die. And the Bible says that he looks, and he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he says, "Well, what about him?" And Jesus rebukes him. Jesus said, "What is that to thee? If I want him to be here till I come, what is that to you? You just do what I tell you to do." And I'm putting it in my own words, but that's what he's saying. Now, beloved, this disciple, whoever he is, this disciple was constantly with who? Peter. I told you, notice the names. It's Peter. Every time it's Peter. Peter. He's talking with Peter. Now, beloved, the inner circle of disciples was Peter, James, and John. Now, that narrows it from 11 to what? 3. Since this is found in the book of John, written by John, beloved, and since John has no problem using the other disciples, it would seem, beloved, that John was referring to who? To himself. Beloved, John had such a close, intimate relationship with Christ that he was known, and I think he was proud of it, known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Even John's epistles, if you read John's epistles, they're all about love. 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 So there's Jesus on the cross. He's suffering. There's John and Mary, his mother, watching this horrible, horrible scene. Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he looks at John and he says, "Behold thy mother." Thy mother. What's going on? Beloved, Joseph, the Lord's stepfather, was dead by now. Jesus, being the oldest, had the responsibility of caring for his mother. That was Jewish tradition, that was Jewish law. That was it. The oldest cared for the mother. Well, now notice, beloved, that even in the throes of death, The Lord doesn't forget her. His mind is on her, not on the beating that he's just had, not on the spikes that are in his hand, not on the fact that he's dying, but his thoughts are on her. Beloved, when everything reasonable says that his thoughts should be upon himself, he's thinking about her. About her. His responsibility and her earthly needs. That's what he's thinking about. His responsibility to her and her earthly needs. And in that moment, he gives to her the honor that's due, beloved. He says, "Behold thy mother." Ain't it wonderful? Boy, this is shouting ground right here. Ain't it wonderful to know that the Lord not only cares about our spiritual needs, but He cares about our earthly needs. What we need down here. What we need down here. That's what Jesus was addressing here. His mother's earthly needs. He was saying, "John, from now on, this is your mother. Take care of her and provide for her and meet her earthly needs." And John understood that. Because, beloved, in verse 27, the last part of the verse says, "And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." See, Jesus had a responsibility to his mother. And he was concerned about her earthly needs as well as her spiritual needs. And he wasn't going to let anything, I mean anything, keep him, beloved, from meeting that responsibility. Not even death. Not even death. Now let's think about that for a moment. As Christians, we are the sheep of His pasture. Amen? And He is our what? Good shepherd. Good shepherd. Now, does the shepherd have a responsibility to the sheep? You know he does. You know he does. Especially if he's a good shepherd. Amen? Beloved, he takes care of the sheep. Amen? Beloved, he sees that they have food and they have water. He sees that they are protected. He sees, beloved, that they have shelter. That's his responsibility as the shepherd. How about this? As the church, we are members of his bride. Amen? Boy, this is some good stuff. I need some wholeness here tonight. I need some noise. Listen to me. We are a spouse to Him, the bridegroom. You know, people don't understand. We are legally bound to Christ, and He is legally bound to us. Amen. To us. You see, in a legal sense, beloved, we are married to Him. Now, the marriage has not been consummated yet, and it won't be until He returns and snatches away His bride, beloved. It hasn't been consummated yet, but we are in the espousal stage. But in a Jewish marriage, the only way to end an engagement was a writ of divorce. It was legal. Only way you could end an engagement was a writ of divorce. You see, He had already paid the price for us, beloved. Amen? Amen. And the price was His own blood. That's the price He paid for His bride. Beloved, listen, the covenant had been agreed on by both parties. I mean, beloved, by Jesus when He paid the price, by us when we received Him as Lord and Savior. We agreed, beloved, with Him. And we signed the covenant to be His bride. He's our bridegroom. And we are His bride. Now, does He have a responsibility to us as His bride? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Beloved, as a husband to a wife, He has a responsibility to meet our needs, both physically and spiritually, to protect us, to care for us. Oh, listen, I'm here to tell you, beloved, He will meet His responsibility. He'll do it. It's His responsibility, and He always meets His responsibility, like He did with His mother that day. He will for you and me, as His sheep, as His bride. He will. Listen, if He cared for Mary, He cares for you. Amen. And He cares for me. If He provided for Mary, He'll provide for you. He'll provide for me. And nothing will deter Him. Nothing will stop Him. Not even death. Not even death. He will take care of not only our spiritual needs, but our earthly needs. But our earthly needs. One other thing I want to share with you. Look who's standing by the cross. First, it was Mary, a woman. Women weren't thought much of in those days. You know, I'm just being honest with you. They were low on the totem pole. Amen? All right. Second, it was John. Now, think about that for just a minute. It was John. Now, let's look at Mary. Here's a lady. A lady was standing with Jesus in His dying hour. And not only was she there, but there were other women there who were followers of Christ. They were standing afar off. They weren't standing as close as Mary. The Bible says they were standing afar off watching. Beloved, as Jesus looked out upon this sea of faces at the cross, almost every face He saw that was friendly was female. Was female. Only one male that we have record of. And that was John. And that was John. Now let that sink in just a minute. Fellas, I'm going to tell you a secret. Don't tell the ladies. Don't let them hear this. But fellas, if it wasn't for the women standing for Christ, there wouldn't be a church. There would not be a church. I have pastored 6 churches. The women carried the church. The women. The women. You go to any church you want to go to. I don't care what denomination it is. It's the ladies who are the most faithful. It's the ladies, beloved, who do the most work. It's the ladies who pray the most, who do the most, who stand the most with Christ. It's the ladies. It's the ladies. Now, thank God for the men. But, beloved, it's the ladies mostly to keep the church going. On Mother's Day, Martha backed this up. We go out and get gifts for the ladies. How many do we usually get for the ladies? About 60. On Father's Day, we go out and get gifts for the men. How many do we usually get? About 40. About 40. And that's the situation in any church you want. And by the way, we don't usually give away 40. We try to get enough so everybody gets one. More like 30, right? That we actually give away. I'm telling you, beloved. Now, thank God for the men, but it's the ladies mostly that keep the church going. And maybe that's what the Lord is teaching us here. All those faces around Him, beloved, the faces of the lady followers were the majority. Were the majority. Second, there was one male face that was a follower of Christ that, as far as the record shows. And it was John. But wait a minute. What's John doing there? He had run. He had run when Jesus was arrested. Matthew says, Matthew 25:56, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Mark says the same thing. Oh, listen, John had initially run, beloved, but then he had come back and he had gotten himself and Peter access into the court when they were trying Jesus. And remember, Peter warmed himself by the fire. But in running, he had utterly failed the Lord. But now he was back at the foot of the cross. Now notice this. Jesus, beloved, didn't rebuke him. Jesus, beloved, didn't call him a traitor, a turncoat. The Lord, beloved, didn't resent him for running, didn't treat him with coldness and indifference, did he? No, beloved, Jesus looked, and there was John. And the Lord treated him, listen to this is so good, as if he had never left. Woo! As if he had never run. As if he had never failed the Lord. Hey, he even put him to work. Behold thy mother. Hey, John, take care of Mary like she's your mother. I'm going to put you to work. Take care of her like she's your mother. Two things here. First, thank God that ladies can stand for God and be used of God. Thank God. Thank God backsliding Christians who fail God can come back and still be used of God as if they had never left. As if they had never left. Oh, listen. John may have run. He may have failed, beloved, but he came back. And the Lord loved him just as much as he had before, beloved. And the relationship with him wasn't broken. Christ picked it up right where it had left off. Right where it had left off. Thank God that John was still usable. Because you see, it was after this that John wrote the Gospel of John. And that John, beloved, wrote his three epistles. And that John was given, the revelation of Jesus Christ. John lived, beloved, to be an old man. And never again did he desert the Lord. Tradition says they boiled him in oil. But he wouldn't recant. He wouldn't turn. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. But he wouldn't recant. He wouldn't deny the Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, sometimes we fail. Well, I do. Miserably. Sometimes we falter. Sometimes, beloved, we let God down. But listen to me. He welcomes us back with open arms. With open arms. And just because we do fail sometimes does not mean He can't use us. Hey, the greatest things are yet to come if we come back and yield ourselves to Him completely. Completely. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. What a heart Jesus has. A heart of love, a heart of caring, a heart, beloved, that receives us and uses us no matter who we are or what we are. A heart that forgives and restores. Look at it. Look at that heart. Because that's the same heart that He has for you and for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You. God, thank You that You are just the way You are because You are so wonderful and so great and so mighty. And Your love, God, for us is beyond words. Thank You for Your Son who shows us the heart of God the heart, God, that He had for John and for his mother, God, He has for us today. Thank You, Father. Thank You, God, that though we fail You, though we fall short, God, Your arms are always open. And You're always, Lord, ready to take us back. Not only take us back, but God, restore us to where we were before we left. And use us for Thy glory and Thy praise. God, I thank You so much for the blessing that God You've given me in studying this. And I pray, God, we'll take these things and we'll hold to them because, God, somewhere up the road, we're going to need them. Maybe in our own life. Maybe, God, to help somebody else. God, we can tell them about the heart of Jesus as He displayed it on that cross. And God, we give You the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.